Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 3 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Jared Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 7, 18 through 24. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Fascinate us with your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump back into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 7, starting in verse 18. You and your fellow Israelites may then do whatever seems best with the rest of the silver and gold, in accordance with the will of your God. Deliver to the God of Jerusalem all the articles entrusted to you for worship in the temple of your God, and anything else needed for the temple of your God that you are responsible to supply, you may provide from the royal treasury. Yesterday, we talked about the letter. This is the continuation of the letter that Artaxerxes wrote to be delivered with Ezra for him to take with him so that everybody in Jerusalem and that whole province knew that Artaxerxes was okay with this. This is amazing. Again, Artaxerxes is saying, I want you to take all of this gold and silver and that we're giving you out of our own pockets and out of the government coffers and all the free will offerings that you take. And he's saying, I want you to go and buy bulls and rams and all that kind of stuff that you need to make offering for at the temple. I want you to do that. Make sure that you buy all that. Make sure that you go and you instruct people in the law of your God. It's like, and by the way, I want you to make sure that you finish this and anything else you need, you can take it from the royal treasury. Saying, my money, my kingdom is at your disposal, Ezra. It conjures up like we don't get the backstory of Ezra here. In his book of what was going on, who was Ezra to Artaxerxes? How did he have this relationship? How did this happen? And here is Artaxerxes just giving him everything. What was it that inspired him to do this? Was it because of Esther marrying the previous king? You know, was that the reason why that Esther is the queen mother at this point, and she's like, hey, you know, give money for all of this. Who knows? It just, there's so many questions that we don't really have answers for, but it really makes you wonder, what was it like? What was going on that led up to this after so much bureaucratic red tape and just all of the blech that was going on up until this point? What was it that changed the king's heart? What was it that led to this? And it gets even better. Verse 21. Now I, King Artaxerxes, decree that all the treasurers of Trans-Euphrates are to provide with diligence whatever Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law, the God of heaven, may ask of you. Up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of olive oil, and salt without limit. This is a tremendous amount of money that Artaxerxes is saying, all of you treasurers, all of you people in all of these districts, if Ezra asks this from you, you'd better give it to him. And here's how much, you know, I'm going to tell you, you have to give. If he asks for less, then that's fine. But he can ask for up to this much. In addition to what he's already asked for from the royal treasury and silver and gold to finish building the temple, he's saying he can have as much as this stuff for all of the other stuff that he needs for basically at his discretion to use it however he wants. And this is a tremendous amount of stuff that Artaxerxes is telling the people that Ezra can have. At this point, he is directing this part of the letter to the treasurers, to the bureaucrats, the facilitators in these different provinces around Jerusalem. Verse 23, whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of the God of heaven. Why should his wrath fall on the realm of the king and on his sons? You are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tribute or duty on any of the priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers at the house of God. This is pretty amazing. He's basically saying, treat these guys like government employees, even better than that. They pay no taxes. These guys, all of the people associated with the temple, with his house of worship, they pay nothing in taxes. He said, I'm taking away your authority to charge them any taxes. But the interesting thing that I find here that Artaxerxes says is he says, you know, let them do all this. Make sure this is easy for them. Why should the wrath of their God, why should God's wrath fall on my kingdom and on me and on my sons? Again, like I said yesterday, it seems like there is a fear of God in Artaxerxes. I mean, this definitely makes it sound like it's a fear of God. And it's not clear here if Artaxerxes is maybe momentarily turn as in his worshiping the one true God only. Maybe he just has a reverence and a fear for the one true God. Or, you know, maybe he has completely turned his heart. Or maybe he has turned his heart and while he's secretly still worshiping the pagan gods that they have. There's a lot of different possibilities that are going on here, but at the very least, this is fascinating to me that he has a genuine, what seems like a genuine fear of the God of the Israelites. It makes you wonder what happened. Did he have a dream? Did a prophet come up? Did Ezekiel the prophet at some point come up to him? Ezekiel is actually probably long dead at this point, but some other prophet, you know, from the vicinity of Ezekiel or a Jewish prophet, someone come up to him, prophesy over him. What was it that caused him to have this just amazing deference toward the Jewish people? Why did he like them so much? Again, maybe it was the queen mother, Esther. Maybe she's the one pushing this. It's very interesting, this is when one of those times where I'm like, oh, give me more. I want to know all of the backstories. What's going on behind the scenes here? I'm desperate to know more about this, and there's just so few good places to find that kind of information. There's extra biblical information about some of these stories and some of these things going on, but not all of it is as trustworthy, definitely not as trustworthy as scripture. And so it can be very difficult to piece some of these things together sometime, but these are fascinating stories. I love imagining what must have been going on behind the scenes. And again, that's not like a biblical thing. We're not coming up with this is exactly what happened, but it is interesting. It's fun to puzzle through and think what could have led up to this. What real life scenarios would have happened that brought us to this point? I love thinking through that. I love imagining that. And I always encourage you, as you're reading through the Bible, as you're reading through stories like this, let your imagination run wild with that. With the caveat, that doesn't mean if like you imagine something that it's automatically true because you imagine it. Maybe like the Spirit was leading your imagination. Maybe the Spirit was leading your imagination. Maybe you were just imagining. It doesn't matter. That's what helps make the Bible come to life. That helps us make it real when we can imagine those things. It doesn't mean that what we imagine is true. It just allows the words here on the page to leap off. It allows us to put ourselves in the midst of that. And when you're using your imagination to that, and when you're using your imagination to imagine what it would have been like to actually have been there, to have been a fly on the wall in these rooms, that makes this so much more real as we're studying it. And that's a good thing. Now, again, don't come up with some kind of weird theological standpoint and post on the internet, say that Darren Hibbs told you to do that. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Let your imagination help the words of Scripture come to life, not so that you can start some new weird cult because you imagine that Esther, you know, paid for all of this and that we need to start worshiping or venerating Esther or something like that. Please, please, please don't do that. But do let your imagination run wild in helping you fill in the gaps as you read this. I think it's so powerful. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.